Right, today's reading is from Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. And if you've got a Pew Bible, it's on page 204. Blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops on your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. How are you all doing? How are you doing? Okay. It's not a blank question. Just in case we haven't met yet, my name's Ben, and I'm your vicar, apparently. And it's always worth saying that Holy Trinity works in a team with Goodley United Church just up the valley towards Bratton Fleming. And do pray for them. You know, they pray for us. It's good to be in partnership. It's good that we pray for each other. Well, this morning our Hands series moves into its next incarnation. And we've been asked from the start, what's in our hands? The focus has been on what has God given us, what has Jesus won for us, and what else in God's kingdom might we be trying to grasp? And then we spent a month in Jonah being reminded that we are in God's hands. Didn't Mike and our youth team do an extraordinary job last week leading us in drawing that together? They were an extraordinary credit to the church. You know, we are so blessed to have so many young people involved right through the life of the church. Never forget that. Well, now our Hands series refocuses again and asks us to open our hands. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be challenged to open our hands, to open our hearts, to open our minds, and to open our eyes and ears. And we're also going to be challenged to open our wallets and bank accounts. I don't know when the last time was you heard a sermon on giving in Trinity, but that season is upon us now. Blessings. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not going to preach guilt. I'm not even going to particularly preach tithe, although it's a good model and a good place to start from. I want to speak of generosity, of joyful, blessed response to the one who gave it all. Everything we have is from God. Everything. And as we start, let me be clear. Because there's nothing we have with which we can repay the debt we owe to Jesus for our redemption and salvation. There is nothing we have that we can do that with. Well, let me be clearer still. Jesus doesn't ask us to pay back that debt because it's completely impossible for us to do. So abandon that now. Leave all ideas of that now. I know for some people that's a really hard stumbling block as they come to faith. How can I pay back Jesus for all he's done for me? You can't. But you can do one thing. And it's the one thing that he asks us for. You see, Jesus asks for all that we are in response to all that he is. The great exchange is everything that God gave us through his most precious son, Jesus, for everything that we are, warts and all. And as a church right now, everything that we are, our humanity, our physical selves, our service to one another, our worship, our prayer, and our finances, we're offering it to God, warts and all. And speaking specifically to our finances, we have a shortfall against our 2018 planned income of around £8,000. That's the reality of the life of our church right now. I will speak plainly about it and I'll make no apology for it. That's the gap. That's the gap we need to somehow beautifully, miraculously fill by the end of the year. Now, this is the combined sum of our own direct running costs and that which we give to our diocese, because we are a part of the Church of England, and that is right. And if we included planned expenditure that we've stepped back from, and an increase that we know is coming for the Common Fund, that's our money we give to the Church of England, actually the figure is closer to £11,500 that we're effectively in shortfall for. That's a fair whack of money, a large wart even. If you were stepping off the London Underground right now, you would definitely hear those words, please mind the gap. And all we can do is give it to God and say, help. That's all I'm asking us to do. Each one of us can take this to God in prayer and say, help. Each one of us can specifically ask God, how can I help? And let me say this, and please hear this clearly. If you are already giving financially to the church and your circumstances have changed for the worse, then review your position accordingly, but continue to give. If you already give financially to the church and your circumstances have changed for the better, then review your position accordingly and continue to give. If you call this church home, and you haven't yet started supporting the church financially, then can I give you a gentle nudge and encourage you to get on with it and give? And if you think that the church is this large, messy, hard to define beast, and you're not quite sure you trust it with your hard labored money, well, you're right about the mess. But trust God, trust your leadership, and give. That's how this structure works. Now, I never want to preach on these things without adding a bit of practical fun as well. So, just a quick check. Is anybody's insurance, house insurance, due for renewal before Christmas? Oh, man, I needed 100 of you. Come on. Well, look, here's a really interesting thing. I'm going to leave these at the back afterwards. Ecclesiastical Insurance are celebrating 130 years of existence. If you start a new house insurance policy with them before Christmas, they will give £130 to this church. If 100 of you did that, that's £11,300. We're done. Thank you, Lord. It's really simple. They're really competitive. I'm not advertising for them. But this is the insurance company who insures the churches across the country. If that's interesting to you, you never know. You might be able to jump ship even halfway through your policy. We're insured with them. £130 per new policy. How practical and simple is that? Right. So, you know, God guides us to work smart. We all end up working hard and we complain about that, but God guides us to work smart and fully embrace the full array of resources that he lays out before us. So how does this all relate to our passage today? I hear you ask. Let's have a look together. So we're going to turn to Deuteronomy 28, page 204 of our church Bibles. And if you're Bible app people, get tapping. So if anybody want a Bible, you know I'm pretty passionate about opening God's word together. There are Bibles all around this church. If you put your hand up, one of your brothers and sisters around here will bring a Bible to you. That's how it's going to work. Hands up over here. Can we bring some Bibles this way? Bless you. Thank you, guys. It's really important to open God's word together. So, Deuteronomy 28, page 204. Give me a general wave when you're there and ready to go. I think that was a wave for a Bible. Have we got any more Bibles left? Right, we need more Bibles. Okay, the fund's just gone up from 11.5 to 12 because we need more Bibles. So, great, some over there, fab. So, at the beginning of that passage, if, it's a funny little word, or possibly a noun or conjunction, depending on how you want to look at it. If only I'd bought the washing in. If only I'd left the handbrake on. If I'd taken that job, everything would be fine. If I'd married that person, life would be better. Yes, that really is a dolphin saying, marry me. Who would have known? If we bought that house, that car, that phone, if we sent our son to that school, if we did this, if we did that, life would be complete. And here our passage starts with an if on an entirely different scale. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, if. God has been speaking through Moses to Israel for chapters and chapters on the law that he would have them live by. And remember, this is Israel pre-Jesus. This is Moses and God. And there's a covenant here. There's a law-making happening here. And back in the day, you would have a document, you'd have your law, and it would have blessings and curses. And they were designed to tell you that if you follow this, here are the good things that are going to happen. If you don't follow this, here are the bad things that are going to happen. And we need to just give this a bit of reference, a bit of frame. God was going to have his name known amongst Israel, full stop. He was either going to be known as the all-compassionate, loving God, that's his first choice, or he would be known as the God who brought punishment. Blessings, curses. You know, and God being a good and compassionate God, dig into Exodus, who is slow to anger and swift in mercy, he would much rather that they would obey and live than sin and die. God's preference is always to bless. And so in Deuteronomy 28, we find this wonderfully rich promise, all set under the word if. And it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. Blessings, curses. Which one are you going to take? Well, blessings, please, Lord. And seeing as we're in October, this is not trick or treat. This is quite different from that. And this is wholly applicable to us. So if we fully obey the Lord our God and follow his commands, how shall we be blessed? Well, as his people. And I believe we can read this. This is talking about Israel, but we know under a covenant with Christ, we are his people. It says, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So we shall be raised up as God's people, and the following array of blessings will come upon us and accompany us if we obey God. There it is again for the second time, if. And it's saying, pay attention. This is important. Draw in, listen. And for these blessings to come on us and accompany us means to overwhelm us, to literally overwhelm us and remain with us. These blessings will be so great as to be unstoppable. Do any of us need some of that today? Because I know that I do. Okay, here come the blessings. 3, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. So for us, that's blessed in Barnstable and blessed in Bickington. Amen? Good. 4, the fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Our children, our crops, our cattle, all that we do, all blessed. Verse 5, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will have bread enough to eat and share. Hear that. It's not enough to feed ourselves. It is to eat and share. Verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Wherever we walk in God's name, we shall be blessed. Verse 7, the Lord will grant the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. God Almighty will protect us and banish our foes. And I know that modern pop music is bad, but thank the Lord that the boy band One Direction split up. They will come at you from One Direction. It's a tough crowd this morning. Verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The places where we store God's provision, blessed. And actually in contemporary church culture understanding, that which we live and worship in, the church is the barn or the storehouse where we store God's provision. It's why I say with no utterance of fear, give to the church and trust us to support the mission that we're called to. The work of our hands, blessed. The place in which we live, labor, love, and share, blessed. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the command of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. And for me, this is the clincher. This is the best of the blessings. A personal, intimate people with a personal, intimate God. I long to be a holy person. That's my number one goal in life. I long to be holy. Holy doesn't feel very trendy, but holy is what we're called to be in God. We are called to be his righteousness. I yearn for us to understand as a church community and engage in being a holy people. And yet, it's only God who can and will establish this in us. If, because there it is again for the third time, if we keep God's commands and walk in obedience to him, he will draw us to himself and make us a holy people, his righteousness. And friends, here's the gift, because to walk in obedience with him, to walk in his path of blessing, is to walk with the gift of Jesus Christ who's been given to us. Isn't that extraordinary? We get to walk in the love and gift of Jesus Christ. And unlike Moses and the Israelites, they had the law, they had the leader, they didn't yet have Jesus. How blessed are we? So why is God doing all of this? Well, verse 10, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by my name or by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you, so that his name will be praised, so that his name will be glorified, so that the fear of the Lord will be known amongst all peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations. You see, God is terrifyingly powerful. Make no mistake. And we should fear him. But we need to understand fear better. William D. Eisenhower, writing in Christianity Today, said this: when we assume that the world is the ultimate threat, we give it unwarranted power. For in truth, the world's threats are temporary. When we expect God to balance the stress of the world, we reduce him to the world's equal. As I walk with the Lord, I discover that God poses ominous threat to my ego, but not to me. He rescues me from my delusions so he may reveal the truth that sets me free. He casts me down only to lift me up again. He sits in judgment of my sin but forgives me nevertheless. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but love from the Lord is its completion. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but love from the Lord is its completion. We've been singing, friends, oh, how he loves us. We are loved. How blessed are we. And we are so loved that he sent his only Son, Jesus, to us. And the world needs to know this powerful, unrelenting, unending, unswerving, fearful, fearless love. And how will they know lest we tell them, show them, and live Christ's love among them? And the blessings continue. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. Whatever we have discerned from God that we open our hands to, whatever we have been led by God into that we lend our strength to, shall be blessed. You know, it might be for a day, it might be for a season. I know we're currently reviewing every ministry in the life of our church. Some of them have run for eons, some of them are fledgling. But we want to run where God's blessing is, and his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we have to balance that. I will come back to this verse time and time again. But unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. And this is the house of the Lord. Make no mistake about it. He will bless the work of our hands. Then it says, you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Well, here we are in temporary financial deficit as a church, and I believe that God will meet our needs through the way that he blesses each of us, that he meets our needs. I really believe that. How about you? Do you believe that, that God will meet our needs? Yeah? All right, let's pray that in then. So, Lord God, would you meet and exceed the financial needs that face us right now, so that we might fully engage in and complete and work in the mission and the land you have given us, and so that we might declare your glory and that we might be people of your name here. Amen. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. The people of God are called to lead, not to wag. Now, you've all seen one of those crazy dogs that runs around the park. They get so excited that their tail wags so hard that they're basically unable to walk straight. They often seem to be red setters. I don't know what that's about. But we, the people of God, are called to lead and to walk straight and not to wag. Do you hear what I'm saying? Leaders, not waggers. We're the head, not the tail. The top, not the bottom. I'm not even going to go there. And here it is again for the fourth time. If we pay attention to God's commands and follow them with care. If. And then verse 14, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. It's only God, as revealed through the Gospels, as revealed through Jesus Christ. It can't be God plus or God minus, only God. It can't be Jesus plus or Jesus minus, only Jesus. It can't be Spirit plus or Spirit minus, only Spirit. And it can't be God's Word plus or God's Word minus, only God's Word. if you hear things where they say, oh yeah, I've learned this new thing about Jesus, and you're sitting there going, what are you going on about? Jesus plus, run away. If you hear things saying, well, Jesus actually can't do that. Actually, he hasn't got enough power. Jesus minus, run away. One God, straight, leading, not wagging. And so, if we follow God's commands, verse 1, if we fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands. Verse 2, if you obey the Lord your God. Verse 9, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Verse 13, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, if we do this, we shall be blessed. We shall. We are being blessed. And all of our needs shall be met. And we will be able to deliver all of the ministry and work that God is calling us into partnership to do. So what are we to do with this blessing? Here we are, an obedient people, fully engaged in if. What are we going to do with all of this blessing? We're going to give it away. We're going to give it all away. Jesus models for us the holy response to blessing, and he gives it all away. He is blessed, the Son of the Most High, and for us, broken pots and all, he gives it all away. Everything we have, everything we are, it's all from God. And where Jesus leads, we follow. We just have to open our hands, just, and give it all away. We've spent time together starting to understand the fullness of all that God has placed into our hands. Well, now it's time to open our hands and give generously from all that we have received. What's in our hands? Know that we are in God's hands. Let's open our hands together. You see, God has already provided all that we need to meet the missional call he has placed on this church. God has provided already whatever the finances we are to make it balance. God has provided a telephone to speak to us through. And all we have to do, bless you, friend, I'm not teasing, bless you, bless you, bless you. All we have to do is open our hands and blessed, thankful, obedient, say, okay, what's mine is yours. I'm in. Lock, stock, and barrel, the whole lot. You know, these are exciting times. I'm excited about them at least. God is leading us. He's going to take us to some extraordinary places. He's probably going to take us to some fairly scary places at times. But he's already shown us what's in our hands from him. He's already shown us how he loves us and holds us, that we are in his hands. And now he's saying, open up and give. Not just money. Over the coming weeks, we're going to hear hearts, minds, eyes, ears. Open up of yourself and give from all that you have received. Everything we have, we're going to give it all away. The worship band are going to come back up now and get ready to lead us as we set up for communion. And we're going to sing these words, actually, as we sing. We're going to sing in there that I stand with arms high and hearts abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. My grandfather used to shout when we gathered at youth and church gatherings, and he would say, if you don't mean the words, don't sing them. He was very encouraging like that. Solid brethren stock. But he would say, if you don't mean the words, don't sing them. And I would say that to you. If you want to stand there, sing from your heart. If you believe that all that you are is Christ, then sing it out. If you will stand with us as a church and say that we are Christ's people, then sing that out. Let's pray as the band start. Father, thank you that you are blessing us. Thank you and praise you that you are good. Thank you that you have already met our needs beyond our wildest imaginations. Thank you even for ecclesiastical insurance. Lord, bless us as we worship you. Bless us as we come to your table to worship. And let us know you better for your name and for your glory. Amen.